Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Pour a big glass for tonight, folks. The Ciroc Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Saints falling 21-14 to the LA Rams, snapping a two-game win skid. Black and gold now 4-8 on the season. You heard from head coach Darren Rizzi. Now, Cam Jordan at the podium. Here's what he had to say following the loss.
Obviously, this result isn't what you all wanted coming into this one after coming off the bye week and everything, but the run defense is going to kind of be the biggest conversation to come out of this. What did you kind of see throughout the game that caused some issues there?
Yeah, I mean, the first drive was a three and out to the standard, and then after that, it was what, second quarter, and we had TOP, and we ended up giving some TOP back, a time of possession. They ended what, almost 5 yards, 5.5 yards a carry by the end of the game. That's not our standard. Easily could have held them under three. We've got to be able to look at the film and correct that. There was some, whatever it was, gap integrity, missed tackles, whatever that is, we got to figure out and eliminate that ASAP. I mean, the energy was high. Guys were flying around. We had a couple sacks. There was pressures. And, for the most part, we contained the receivers, which they have a good receiving core, until we didn't. And that's on the running game, so it's on the D-line, it's on the linebackers, it's on the DBs. We all got our hand in it.
Did they do something fundamentally different in the second half?
You say they went from, primarily their whatever, they ran from their stretch to the tight end to open up the opposite way to relying more on their play actions as well as quick throws. He sped up his release because he was getting tagged in the first half and responded accordingly.
How would you describe the mood in the locker room right now?
Pissed. You let one get away. We don't have enough time to let anything get away. Defense, we let them score 21 points. Just going over it. I mean, in the locker room, there's guys still talking about fitting the run blocks. Guys are motivated. We want to win, and this is not how you get it done.
Does it become challenging?
Doesn't every loss become challenging?
Yeah, but it feels like in the run game there were like a couple different things you were identifying as being issues. It feels like maybe a moving target there makes it tough to adjust. How do you go about that?
I mean, we knew going in that they were a stretch team. You know, Kyron Williams is a good running back, and they create gaps by, you know, walling off or whatever it is. It's a very lateral scheme situation, and the first half we were overly confident. The second half, still confident that things would go our way. I mean, the faith on the sidelines was we're going to go down, score, and if we don't go for two, we go into overtime and still come out with the win, and that didn't happen. But the faith on the sideline was we're going to get this thing going in our favor.
Cam, a coach said stated 1-4 in these one-score games. You played a lot of teams that was the opposite, going 4-1 in those. What do you think?
You have to be able to close out those games. I've stated it multiple times. I mean, when you were within one score, you have to be able to close those games out. And on the defense side, you always say, put it on us. When you watch the offense, when you watch how close it was, you saw Derek scan and find his target as just about to release. There's opportunity there. We have to be able to take advantage of each and every opportunity.
Cam, I know you can't rely on turnovers, but I mean, is there a frustration when you go and have two games without forcing one? I mean, is that something you feel on the field?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you always want turnovers. You always want, you know, a sack, strip, fumble. I was hoping when, you know, Shep would have got one out when he was coming through the backside B or wherever he came from. But that's just it. It didn't happen. Now we're two games without turnovers, and honestly, turnovers help. Anytime you can give the ball back to our offense, you have potential to score. So that's going to be on us.
You didn't talk to Tyron at all?
Talk to a lot of people. I mean, yes. But I wouldn't say directly impeding the game, more along the lines of, you know, what do you need? What do you need from me? What do you need from us? And just trying to focus on what we can do better. Are you saying after the game or during game?
Yeah, just leaving the game with that injury.
Yeah. Just make sure I was like, yo, is it, you know, is it serious? Whatever. We had a quick conversation.
You allow yourself at all with big picture five games left?
No. I mean, the goal this week was 1-0, and we didn't accomplish that goal. So our new mission is 1-0 next week. I can't macro when we're not taking care of micro. Cool.
Thanks, guys.
Saints defensive end Cam Jordan speaking to the media after the Saints lose 21-14 to the LA Rams. Black and gold now 4-8 on the season. We're going to take a break and be back with more of the Ciroc Point After, so stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome into the Ciroc Point After. The Saints lose 21-14 to the LA Rams. A tough one for the black and gold. Cajun Cannon talked to Deuce a little about the missed opportunities for them in the red zone and just overall disappointing finish to what should have been a very winnable game for them.
Well, I don't know. We can't finish. I mean, that's the NFL. Well, we are what I think we are. You know, we lost, like 7 games in a row?
Oh, yeah.
We're not that bad, but we're not necessarily amongst the elite. We're kind of, I think, at our best. I said this in the pregame. I think we're 8-9. 9-8 type team. You can't say exactly 500, so that's hovering around 500 because you're playing 17 games. But, okay, when you get in the red zone, you got to score. And what's frustrating is that we've been, you know, majority of the season, we've been like a top 10 red zone offense and defense. Well, not so fast today. They were 3 of 300%, and we were 0 of 2. Well, and we lost by 7 points. That's the difference in the game. What do you do in the red zone? And I'm talking about getting touchdowns. This is not like getting in the red zone and get a field goal or whatever. But, I mean, it just seems like, boy, it was like we were like in quicksand. We couldn't really get anywhere. The impressive play was Valdez-Scantling. Derek Carr was very accurate, and he dropped it in the well. But again, if I'm gonna look at the offense first, you can't be in the 30s on third down on offense. You can't be converting anything 30-some percent. If you really clicking offensively, you got to be. I'm not saying you got to be Drew Brees like when we had led the league like 54, 55%. I remember one year we led the NFL, and we were 48.5%, and it's hard to do. But that's what you have to do when you're really controlling the ebb and flow of a game. And we had the ball 5 minutes more than the Rams when all said and done. And then you look at the first half, it was almost 2-1. We basically had the ball 19 minutes, and they had it like 11. So it just how the game transpired and what was coming around. You know what we still can't do? We still can't stop the run. You know how we wanted to get better with the run and who you sign and all that? Brian Brzee, I think, is outstanding as far as getting after the passer. He can rush the passer. He ended up coming up with a sack today, but he only had a tackle. You know, he had a couple of quarterback hurries. The tackle fell off. Don't you see, like when they were running the ball, it's like a wave. It's like, oh, are we going to stop him? But by the time we stop him, he already gained 4 or 5 yards. So, you know, did you watch the Eagles play the Rams, how they're getting stuffed? I mean, that to me, I don't know what we're going to do in the draft and all. I still think we got to address in the middle and it's just stopping the run first. And the reason why I say that, because, again, this is not an opinion. We gave up 5.5 yards a run today on 29 carries. If I'm playing the Saints, I'm the Giants. The Giants aren't very good. But I think they're going to run the ball high 20s or low 30s for sure. But still, coming into the game, we gave up 5 yards a carry. So now we gave up 5.5. So that didn't surprise me. Again, you look not so good in third down. We were 5 of 15, 33%. No, you might think it doesn't make a difference. If we're not 8 for 15, we need to be 7 of 15. It's amazing when you look at those percentages when all comes about. Now, I think we're not good enough to be able to win the turnover battle. We need every advantage we can get. And we still plus 2. Well, the Rams were plus 3 coming into the game. We were plus 2. Well, we're still the same. There's no turnovers. You very seldom see a game in the NFL. You mean somebody didn't fumble or throw an interception? No, there was no turnovers. And I think the way we structure right now, we need to have takeaways. You know how we almost beat the Eagles? You look at that game, and we should have, would have, could have, should have. Remember, they had to score a touchdown at the end. Then we have 3 takeaways that game, and we still lost, but that gave us a fighting chance. So I think that's the way we structured right now. Now, if I look in history, I don't know, the fans want to cheer. They want to be loud and proud. But this even goes back to Tulane Stadium and the Superdome. We do not have a winning record at home against the Rams. And this is the team we played the second most, only behind Atlanta. You know, I said that in the pregame. We've now played the Rams 78—Atlanta we played 112 times. We've now played the Rams 78 times. Well, our record is now 34 wins, 44 losses. Even when I was playing, I remember we had more success in Anaheim. Play. I don't know what it is in the Dome, but you look at home, counting Tulane Stadium, we have 18 wins, 21 losses. Coming into the game, we're 15-15. Now in the Dome against the Rams, we're 15-16. And Bobby, I know, you tell me, Bob, we got cheated in the Nola no call. I know that was to go to the Super Bowl. But all those other games, come on, we can't be playing in the Caesars Superdome, in the Superdome, and have a losing record against anybody. You truly have to have that, you know, that don't feel advantage. And I don't know, he's kind of sexy. You know who definitely has our number? Now, he took over the Rams 7 years ago. Sean McVay is now 5-2 against the Saints. You know, I mean, you know how everyone perceives, oh, that's a young, up-and-coming coach. That's the kind of coach we need for the Saints.
Sure.
You know, offensive mind, great offensive mind. You know, you took a look at all that. Well, he's 5-2 against the Saints. Now, looking at has to change, and Coach Rizzi said this, you know, how you finish games. In one-score games, we're like 1-4. No, if you're a winner and you're amongst the best going to playoffs, you know what? In one-score games, I'm not saying you got to be 5-0, but we need to be like 4-1 instead of 1-4. That's the difference. And I don't know. I think Tampa Bay might end up beating Carolina at the end.
They did end up winning, pulling it out in overtime.
But just look, Atlanta's falling on their face.
For sure.
But we didn't take advantage of this opportunity. Come on. If we beat the Giants, so what? The Giants are sorry. We should beat the Giants.
So you better beat the Giants.
Yeah, kind of like dysfunction. But who knows? Look at the Raiders. They're sorry, too. And then you look at the Chiefs game, how it goes. It's just the NFL.
They lost to the Panthers, so anything's possible.
Yeah. So when you look at what's going to come about, it's very frustrating. And, you know, like closing out games, finishing games. Just to go to show you, this is beyond Rizzi, Coach Rizzi. During the teams, I said this in the pregame, during the team's seven-game losing streak, the Saints either led or was within one score at the start of the fourth quarter. Okay, how you finish? And let me talk about the last 4 minutes. Fourth quarter, okay, where are we at? To me, I think the last time we played the Giants, now he ain't the quarterback no more. Remember we were winning by 11 points with 8 minutes left? In the dome when we lost, Daniel
Disgusting.
Jones.
Right.
We made Daniel
Jones. Saquon.
Yeah, we made Daniel Jones. Yeah, but they both ain't there no more.
Right.
We made Daniel Jones look like he was all pro that game. But if you look at it, we either had the lead or was within one score to start the fourth quarter in six of those seven losses. And as I always say this, you heard a four-minute offense or defense. I mean, that's the difference in winning in the NFL, finishing games and dictating the outcome. Right now, we are not dictating the outcome. So that's why I think right now, listen, we're not so terrible. Like, you know who's really dysfunctional? You watched them on Thanksgiving. Remember I told you 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired? I think we had 3 right now. The Bears. What's my bad clock manager? What the hell they were doing at the end of that Lions game? So I'm just telling you, I don't think we're not that bad. But we're not, we're not hot or we cold, we're not cold. We're like middle of the pack. And what that's going to get you, 8-9, 9-8. So I'd be interested to see what's going to happen down the road. And, you look at the schedule, it's favorable, but, Atlanta losing, but they got to play the Giants. I think they play the Raiders, too. So you're like, okay, but this is a game. Now you're just playing for your livelihood. You're going to be evaluated. Like playoffs. No, nobody's worried about the playoffs. Now you could say, light at the end of the tunnel. Right now is you got to look in the mirror. Okay, where are you at? You want to be a pro player? Because everybody's evaluating what you're doing. And so what are you going to do come Giants, the Giants game? So you're really playing for your future. Now, Saints fans don't want to hear that, but then we're not mathematically out. But then you're so far behind the eight ball that it's so frustrating where we're at right now. And when you look at it, Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara is a flat-out stud. I mean, he's on pace, and I said this in the pregame. He ended up having like 119 total yards from scrimmage. He's on pace to have 1,900 yards. So that's money well spent to secure him for the future. He's on pace now to have 1,000 yards rushing for the first time in his career. He had 112, basically 4.9. That's 5 yards a carry. And 23 carries. At first, I was thinking, boy, he was kicking ass in that first half. We had 12 carries for 80 yards, 6.7 yard average. And we got in the ball a little bit more at the end. But I was like, man, we got to just give the ball to Alvin more, when all said and done. And the difference, Matthew Stafford and Derek Carr. Derek Carr had 184 yards passing. Stafford had 183. But you look at the efficiency, quarterback rating. Stafford was 110, Carr's basically 86. What's the difference? Stafford had 2 touchdowns, Carr had 1. He protected the football. And so when all said and done, I'm looking at Taysom Hill. We want to get him the football more. Hopefully, I don't know how his knee is and what's going to come about with that. But I think this is a game that you miss not having. Even though Valdez-Scantling, he got targeted 3 times. He had 2 catches. He had that, that long of 28 yards, and he had that touchdown. He averaged 18 yards when you break it down. And then, but other than that, it's like, okay, when you look at who Stafford was throwing to, Nacua or Cooper Kupp, now, It wasn't a Cooper Kupp type game, considering what he's had in the past. He had three catches, 17 yards. But look at Nacua. He had five catches for 56 yards. So it wasn't like the Rams burned us like they did last year. Remember, we couldn't cover them last year? Last year, they had almost 500 yards of offense. I think, looking back, it was like maybe 470 or somewhere around that. So when you look at what all said and done total yards, no, we did. They only had 322, so I thought that'd be a win. But you know what we didn't do? We didn't take away the football. We didn't really stop them. But I thought when we tied the game 14-14, you're playing at home, the Saints are going to win. But I think it still goes down to finishing the game, and we could not stop the run. But we have not stopped the run this year. We gave up 5.5 yards a carry. We're coming in. We were giving up 5 yards a carry coming into this game. So it's a shame. You know, you got to make clutch plays. How you close out games is fourth down. And hey, like Dusanel said, this is true because I'm a big proponent of this red zone. They were 3 of 3, 100% red zone. We were 0 of 2. And we lost 21-14. Right there in goal to go, they were 3 of 3. You know, we're bending, don't break. When they got near the goal, I know they just ran over it. So, very, very frustrating. You know, they all count the same, whether you win or lose. And I thought our defense, the way they were playing the first half, said, damn, we're going to win this game. We're going to win this. The Rams, explosive they've been, they had like 6 first downs. We had 12. Third down efficiency, we weren't good, but they were only 1 of 5, 20%. Like even Cam Jordan said, to start the game, we forced a 3-and-out. Like, oh, that's a great sign. We forced a 3-and-out. We controlling the game, you know, almost 2-to-1, time of possession. We running the ball well. Matthew Stafford, I thought this is a misprint. He was 4 of 10 the first half of 23 yards. You know, so, but the Rams and Coach McVay, they figured out at halftime what they were going to do and what all said and done. And that didn't surprise me. I didn't say this yet, but Kyren Williams, if you look, what did he have? He had, 6 carries for 42 yards the first half, a 7-yard average. He had a long gain of 17. I guarantee they went at halftime. You know what? Why aren't we not giving him the ball more?
Keep pounding the rock, right.
Yes. So he ends up, so if you look at it, the second half he had 18 carries. So he ends up, he had 15 carries, I should say. So he ended up with, when you look at it, 104 yards total. And I guess that was some kind of form of this, like a coincidence. You know when they beat us last year in SoFi? You know how many yards he had? It's the exact same number. So he had 104 yards last year and 104 yards this year. And then when you look at it halftime, he only had 42. So I think, you know, you reflect back, less of Matthew Stafford and maybe Nacua and Cooper Kupp and more. They said we should be able to run against the Saints team, and that's what they did, considering, like I said, the Saints coming in were giving up 5 yards a carry, and they end up getting 5.5 yards a carry when all said and done.
That was the Cajun Cannons take on the 21-14 loss against the Rams. Want to hear from you on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line 504-260-1870. We're going to take a break, but first let's pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Taking a break, we'll be right back. Want to hear from you on the Ciroc Point after, so stay tuned right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Back here on the Ciroc Point After, I want to remind you folks, the day after the Saints score a touchdown, you get free large fries with any purchase in the McDonald's app. Black and gold falling 21-14 to the L.A. Rams. Cajun Cannon, let's get into some of our callers here on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. You can sound off as well, 504-260-1870. Hector, you are first up, so what you got for us tonight, Hector?
Hey, how you doing, guys? First, I want to wish y'all a late happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully y'all Thanksgiving was great with y'all's family.
Yep. Thank you, Hector.
Next, it kind of, you know, like you said, Bobby, I think the difference in the game, and I agree with you, is the play in the trenches. When we were there in the red zone, we just couldn't execute. And if we only could have just held them on a – because we used to be known for red zone defense at some point.
Right, we were this year. Listen, I'm telling you, at the beginning, both red zone and – you don't want to be top 10 in a number of categories. No, red zone defense and red zone offense, and even under Coach Allen, we've been – you know, we forced field goals instead of giving up touchdowns. But today that was not the case in the red zone.
And another thing, too, on special teams. I noticed in the second half, I mean, on kickoff returns, I mean, three kickoff returns for 100 yards.
No, that's terrible. Like,
I mean, at the beginning of the second half, you know, they had a return that gave them a short field. When we tied the game, we even gave them a shorter field. So, you know, those things didn't help. And like you said, you know, everything counts.
Yes, everything counts. So, and you know what, Hector? Everything counts, and you know what? That's Coach Rizzi's wheelhouse. He's in charge of the special teams. That's his baby. You know, I always say Dennis Allen, you know, where you grew up, what's your background? You know, if the offense is struggling, well, Coach Allen, he's the head coach. No, well, Coach Rizzi is the head coach. But I guarantee you, that'll keep him up at night, what they did on kick returns. They had three kick returns, a 43-yard return. Let me tell you, this day and age, when you average, they average like 33.5 a kickoff return. That's ridiculous. If you're about 26.5 yards, you're amongst the best in the league. And we gave up 33, and they had three for 100 yards, that long gain of 43. No. Who it was? I think the receiver. I can't think of the receiver's name right now, that Coach Rizzi, I think, was getting on him about his lane discipline, whatever, as far as making the tackle and kickoff coverage. But, Hector, hold your point.
Cedric Wilson.
Yes, Cedric. I'm glad. Thank you, Hector. A very good job. That's who it was. Cedric, Coach Rizzi was giving Cedric Wilson the business. You can't be the weak link when you're in that coverage units. But, Hector, hold your point where you're at. Let me tell you, the one thing that I think, because it's still kind of boring, the kickoff return. Now, don't you think, okay, you know what they got to do? Okay, you want to see more returns than touchbacks. And the kicker's legs around the NFL, they're so strong, the leg strength. So, you know what, if you want to see more returns and maybe not and have almost zero touchbacks, or maybe you might stay in the end zone if you're a yard or two deep, a lot of times you take it out. Okay, next year, if you want more kickoff returns, you keep the blocker still the same distance, but if you want to return, you want to watch that aspect of the game instead of being a touchback, move the kicker back 10 yards. So where are they kicking from, the 35 now? Okay, now you got to kick off from the 25-yard line. I guarantee you have more kickoff returns. Just by moving the kicker back another 10 yards. Would you agree with that, Hector, or is that too far-fetched? Or you think I'm out of line?
No, I think I got a great point. But also another thing, too, I wanted to mention, too. It just seems to me that throughout the game, even in some of the past games, it's like the players are right there to make a play, and they just standing still. There are like many times in which they got the
guy. We don't get
in the
no
back
separation? Field. You mean us not getting any separation as far as getting open?
No, I mean on defense. Like,
oh, okay,
you're
on defense.
To make the tackle, but
oh, yep.
You're to make the tackle. I mean, there were many times DeMario Davis was, like, right there, and all of a sudden the guy just whisked past him.
DeMario Davis didn't have DeMario Davis didn't have a good name, and I love Double D. He had three total tackles, two unassisted. No, Pete Werner was more active than him. He had seven unassisted, eight total. Look, Ugo Amadi led us in tackles with nine, eight unassisted. We only had one pass defended. How many times, this ticks me off, how many times, and the Rams knew this, and our defensive ends were undisciplined at times. Maybe they're so worried about the run, we didn't have containment. How about when they moved Matthew Stafford out the pocket? There wasn't nobody within 7 or 8 yards of him. You don't think Matthew Stafford, he can spin it. You don't think he's going to be accurate, controlled environment in the dome? It was too many times, and I've watched Matthew Stafford in the past. When he is not at success, because people are hitting him in the jaw. Now, you can't really hit the quarterback, but you're in his face. There was too many times that he's in space, and he's getting out the pocket, not every time, but the majority, and there's nobody around him. So whoever had containment, no, we were not good at all in that area.
Well, the way I look at things now, I mean, to me, when Coach Rizzi took over, I just deemed it as a reset. I just want the Saints to continue to improve every game and not make the same mistakes that are costing us games, and just let's see where it goes from there. Like you said, next week, the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants are sorry. To me, the Rams at 5-6, the Rams might be the best 5-6 team. You know, you look at yard, what your record says you are, but now they're 6-6. It's wide open in the NFC West and all that. But no, the Rams are not sorry. The Giants are sorry. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen when we go to New York. And the weather conditions and all that, how we play as a team. And are you going to be a pro? Are you going to take pride in your craft? And if you want this to be a lifestyle, you got to show up. It doesn't matter, it doesn't look too good for the postseason. You got to go and play. Think about it. It's not like we're playing the Lions next week, or we're playing the Eagles now compared to the beginning of the year. Well, the Giants. The Giants are sorry.
They're 2-10, Bobby, and 0-6 at home this season.
Yeah, so make them 0-7. I mean, who are they going with? Drew Lock? I think Drew Lock can make plays with his feet. I watched against Dallas, but Dallas is sorry. But Dallas looked way better than the Giants. The Cowgirls looked way better than the night game wasn't even as close as it should have been. No, if we don't beat the Giants, Hector, there'll be a lot of bitching on this end.
Thanks for the call, Hector. Saints lose 21-14 to the L.A. Rams in the Caesars Superdome. Now 4-8 on the season. We're going to take a break here on the Ciroc Point After and come back with all your calls right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. Thank you all you black and gold fans on hold. We're going to get to your calls now here after the Saints lose 21-14 to the L.A. Rams. We got Hollywood and Thibodeau is next up. What you got tonight, Hollywood?
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Steve. How y'all doing?
All right, Hollywood. I thought the game was there for the taking, and we could not take advantage of it. Listen, if we were playing the Lions, or whoever you perceive, I don't know, like the up-and-coming, like the Vikings or the Packers, let me tell you this. If we play like that against Green Bay on Monday night, we're going to get waxed. Look how hot the Packers are right now. Considering what that's right before Christmas, it's going to be freezing. So it's not like, you know, like, oh, that would be a monumental upset. No, that's why they play the game. Look how the Panthers have been more competitive and turned things around. But right now, no, the Rams was there for the taking. They got whacked by the Eagles, and they were right now, the Rams are underachieving at 6-6, I'm telling you.
The way we started this game today, I think we had a good chance, but we didn't score many points. We had a good time of possession.
Right.
And we still in the second half. The second half, the Rams came out. They made an adjustment, and we didn't capitalize on that adjustment. It just rolled over. We couldn't stop the run.
Well, Hollywood, what do you think? I don't know. It was 6-0 at halftime. Now, right. The stars are aligned. I don't know. It should be 13-0 or at least 10.
At least.
And it makes all the difference. When you look like, what have you got, 10-0, 13-0, whatever. No, 6-0, that's one score. Come on. And the Rams get high, they go drive and score a touchdown. So even though we were controlled the first half, we're only winning 6-0.
Right. And I got the Bills and 49ers game getting ready to start. You should see the snow at that game, Bob. they came and hardly sit down in the stands. They got a lot of shoveling to do before
Hollywood, you know what? But them Buffalo fans, they showing up. They almost taking pride in shoveling their seat and, you know, their aisle and whatever it's going to take. No, and it's not so much the snow. You know, as a player, you know how they can clean the field and all that, but it's the wind.
Oh, the worst.
The wind, and you're trying to throw a forward pass. Well, you better have big hands, big hands, and a strong arm. When the wind's blowing 25 miles an hour, you know why I know that, Hollywood? From my mentor, Joe Ferguson.
Right.
Remember Joe Ferguson from Woodland High School in Shreveport, played for Arkansas Razorbacks. He was throwing for 250 yards in high school in the early 70s. Now, think about nobody. When the people were running the wishbone and the veer and all that stuff, well, he told me, Bob, I'd be leading, you know, the NFL, and come September, October, and he's playing in Buffalo. All of a sudden, I would throw that same out route that I was throwing in September. Come late November, December, man, it's dying like a wounded duck. No, so it makes a difference playing in that environment in Buffalo. That's why, I don't know. And then Brock Purdy's coming off his shoulder injury? I think that the 49ers have no chance. I think they have no chance against the Bills tonight.
Hey, one more question, Bobby. The division that we play in right now, which is so sorry, by the end of the season, who you think might win this division?
Well, right now, I thought going even in today, how the Falcons were sliding, and I just like the moxie and the swagger of Baker Mayfield. But then look how they end up winning, but how you win the game, that's all that counts. But Tampa Bay, I thought, now this is my wishful thinking, but we'd have had to win today. I'm saying, man, watch what's going to happen. The Saints are going to hang in there tough, and the last game of the season is going to be very meaningful. Like, you know, look at last year. You know, we beat Tampa Bay in Tampa. We play well out there. But we win at Tampa Bay on the road the last game, and Coach Rizzi gets to keep his job, ends up being the head coach, and maybe all of a sudden a miraculous comeback, even though we had that long losing streak. No, there's no reason. We should have won three games in a row, woulda, coulda, shoulda, and then beat the Giants. And then you're on a four-game winning streak. But we screwed that up. No, we lost to the damn Rams. It's done. Now, you playing for your livelihood right now. That's where I think we're at, Hollywood.
Thanks for the call, Hollywood. The Saints fall 21-14 to the L.A. Rams. We're going to take a break here on the Ciroc Point After and be back with even more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Before we continue with our Saints coverage, the black and gold falling 21-14 to the L.A. Rams. Want to update you folks that Nichols has announced that Coach Tim Rebo has announced his retirement after 10 years with the team. So best of luck to Coach Rebo and whatever he has planned for the future. Unfortunate news, obviously, for the Nichols Colonels.
Well, I think it might be a decision, life decision, where he might just be, instead of like resigning, seems like, what's going on, but almost maybe retiring. You know, I know Coach Rebo, the success he's had at Nichols State, you know, they got new facilities in Thibodaux and all that, that he really, when Coach Napier left and went to Florida, I think he really wanted that UL job, but look at UL where they're at, so, I mean, that wasn't the wrong choice, the coach that they chose. But I don't think they gave him an interview. And I think that kind of deep down maybe hurt him to not having that opportunity. But he's done an outstanding job at Nichols.
For
he's
sure.
taken them to the playoffs. The Riverbell Classic has truly been a classic against Southeastern. How hard fought those games have been. So he might just be, then, you know, you have different phases in life. He might just be retiring. You know, you don't have to continue to coach until you die. You know, people think, like, I'm not going to continue to do the radio till I die. You know,
you're not allowed to leave.
No, I was all joking with Buddy D one time. No, and, you know, God rest his soul and all that. And, you know, Buddy DeLiberto said, Bobby, I'm getting older. I want to say he was like 71, 72. I'm getting older. I want you to come help me out. You know, to come around the line. I want you to come help me out with the draft and, you know, pregame and postgame and all that. And talking with Diane and all. So, yeah, it was going to, you know, come, and it was before Katrina.
Right.
You know, because I did the draft in 2004, and Buddy said, well, we can do great things here, and he was all excited. So I said, yeah, I think, you know, I get to come back home. Because, you know, when your kids are in school, I was in, you know, Atlanta basically for 14 years, but, you know, your kids in school, they start, there's my daughter's, not T-Bob, T-Bob at that point, but my daughter's, oh, dad, all my high school friends here, you know, what you're familiar with. You want to stay in what you grow up with.
Sure.
So I understood all that, and so I'm going, like, back and forth, you know, Atlanta, then New Orleans, and then Katrina hits. Well, then before that hit, then all of a sudden it turned into more full-time gig. Buddy passed away. You know, I had a heart attack, whatever, and I was like, oh. And then all of a sudden you're doing sports talk every day. That's a big responsibility considering, you know, like most radio shows, sports shows, they'd be like, you know, you're driving and you're going to work in the morning. Now, this is before social media.
Right.
And all this going way back and how everything have a change with the podcast and all that stuff. But, you know, you have morning shows. But it's always been popular. What Buddy did was the drive home show. Like, you know, everybody wants things instant now, but it used to be, okay, I get to work maybe late in the morning or whatever. And then when I drive home from work, I want to hear what's going on in the sports world. So that's what became so popular with sports talk in the afternoon drive. And so, but the one thing I got to the point, then you start having grandkids and you're involved in their life and all that. And that's why whether you coach it or whatever you do in life, you make decisions. And if you enjoy it, you keep doing it. I love doing Saints and all that. But to say you're going to work every day and, you know, whether your hobbies, whatever your hobbies, and you want to travel and all that. So that's why I'm almost take the approach that I'm not going to be doing the radio and then all of a sudden, damn, I think Hebert just fell out and died on the set. No, I'm not going to be. They're going to run me all before that, and I'll probably have dementia before that sets in. But
hopefully,
but
another Super Bowl before that sets in, too.
No, and I'm all excited that the Super Bowl in New Orleans. I've been to five Super Bowls. I've been on. My dad took me when I was little at Tulane Stadium, going back to Hank Stram and the Chiefs and the Vikings and all that. I even have the original ticket.
Saved
the,
it, huh?
No, the original ticket that I didn't even go. I got the full ticket for $16 in Tulane Stadium to see the Vikings and the Steelers, and couldn't even go to the Super Bowl because we go from the bayou, from Bayou Lafourche to Highway 90. They had a damn train wreck, some chemical spill, so we'd have to go way around, and we're going to get there right before halftime. My dad was so ticked off, we turned around and went back home. But I kept that ticket, and I still have it framed.
Wow.
$16. Whatever, I was at 73, 74. It was early 70s. It was at Tulane Stadium. But so I'm so excited. The Super Bowl is here in New Orleans. You know, we are so lucky to get that once every 4 years. New Orleans and Miami going back and forth. Who's going to have the most Super Bowls? Right now, you know we got to hope for? And I'll tell you, that's why we need to support this. There's so much competition between the cities to host Super Bowls. With all these new stadiums, we're going to get one right now. Even if we're doing things right, probably the next Super Bowl won't come before another decade. Remember what I'm
that
telling
long,
you?
That long, huh?
Yes. Yes, because of the competition. Everybody bidding on this. So, okay, we're having a Super Bowl 2024. It's going to be 25. It's gonna not, watch if it's not until 34, 35. No, I'm telling you. That's why, Steve, you and I, we got to hook this up. We're getting the credentials. We're getting those media credentials. We got to be on top of that.
Oh, yeah, I've already contacted the NFL. They want to know how many people we want for the game, how many people we want for Radio Row.
I'll work that week for free.
don't say that too loud.
No, because I want to be in that number to experience that, because that's something you remember forever.
Sure.
The Super Bowl in your city, now, I wish the Saints were in it. That, we ain't going to make the damn playoffs. But that's another story. But again, I don't know. I went off on that tangent.
We were talking about Rebo.
Coach Rebo. Okay.
All and right. Congratulations to Coach Rebo, though. Also leaving Nichols as the all-time leader in school history in victories with 57. He's stepping away, retiring. We'll see what is next in store for Rebo. Like you said, maybe he's just getting away from football completely, doing the family time
thing.
Yeah,
family time. I don't know, grandkids or whatever. I don't know his situation. but, you know, he had a famous brother. I don't know if you knew this. Going way back, Rusty Rebo.
No, I did not know that.
Linebacker. I don't think he made the Saints. He tried out for the Saints, but right. Like was in Saints camp. and all that. So, no, the Rebos, that was a football family.
Raising a glass to Coach Rebo here on the Ciroc Point After. We'll take a break. Get back in more into our Saints talk right after this.
A Saints game today.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk about that. I'm going off on a tangent.
We'll talk about that after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Want to remind everybody, too, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yard to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations after today's game, $26,950. Going back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line after the Saints fall 21-14 to the L.A. Rams. We're going to hit A.J. in Metairie. What you got for us tonight, A.J.?
First, I was thinking, just like psychically, Bobby was talking about the great Buddy D, because I was thinking about what he would say about this, not finishing drives. You know, injured, probably the most team ever seen, but Bobby knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, the whole thing, AJ, you know what's crazy, too, and I respect Coach Mara for this, because, you know, like, oh, well, we played hard, and, boy, we had a chance. No, to me, this lives in infamy, the woulda, coulda, shoulda. And I don't care what it is. Yeah, we would have won, we could have won, we should have won, or like if we'd executed more in the red zone, all that thing. It's like woulda, coulda, shoulda. The bottom line is you got to get it freaking done. How you going to finish games? How are you going to dictate the tempo and the outcome of a game? That's what we have not done well this year. And really, the last few seasons, we have not done that. And then you know what that means? That's the difference whether, you know, you're a 500 team or you're hovering around, I don't know, this year it might end up being like 7-10. I still think we're going to fight. But what does that get you? That gets you nothing. And it's a difference. How you finish game and dictate the outcomes, the difference whether it's not much difference, but it's a handful of plays here and there. And then who's going to step up, make the play, whether you get the double-digit wins or not? Are we going to be 7-10 or 10-7? You think that's a huge difference. It's not a huge difference, but that's all that counts. Is it an ugly win? It don't matter. Well, you want to have a pretty loss? The bottom line, did you win or lose the game? And that's why, Buddy would hold the organization's feet to the fire because – okay, Drew Brees and Sean Payton laid the foundation for winning. And even though we had a lull where we were hovering around 500, you know why we hovering around 500? Because our defense sucked. We had a top three offense, and Drew Brees, thank God we had Drew Brees in those days. You remember when we were going like a 500 team?
7-9, back to back to back.
Without Drew Brees, we'd have been winning three or four games then. I'm telling you, it's that much difference. Well, right now, and we all know what happened to Nola no call against the Rams and what transpired since then. But now, almost with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, that seems ancient. That's okay. What are you going to do this decade between, COVID, 2020 and going to 2030? And that's why I don't know what Coach Rizzi is going to do. He's going to be interviewed and how the team responds. I can tell you right now, for Coach Rizzi's sake and a lot of these players' sake, they better beat the damn Giants on the road. The Giants are sorry. I'm telling you. It's about measuring stick and who you playing. No, the Rams are one of those teams, I'm telling you, they've underachieved. But the Giants, they had underachieved. No, they didn't achieve nothing. The Giants are where they are when they got rid of Saquon Barkley. They just got rid of their quarterback that they paid $150 million to. When they're gonna, and they're not even going with Danny DeVito. I mean, I know it's Tommy, but you know they're going with Drew Luck. I mean, believe you me, AJ, the crap with Buddy D would really hit the fan if you lose to a team like the Giants next week.
Then they're all squirrels.
Exactly. Like people, oh, well, Bobby, we still have hope. No, there won't be no hope. So go ahead, AJ. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, I thank you, Bobby, because I don't know if you remember me as a kid. I was that little kid that would come around you guys on Saints Drive. Frank Warren, like, knocked me over once and picked me up, and, you know, I was a little kid. So being a little five-year-old, now 46, watching you guys, I just remember Buddy and, you know, some things like the Saints. Understood now, you know.
And AJ, I'm glad you brought up Frank Warren. Frank Warren, I never forget, from Auburn, you know, Auburn Tiger, one of the fastest defensive linemen that I've ever seen. I got a Frank Warren story I'm going to tell you right quick. We'd be running sprints. You know, you run gasses back and forth. Frank Warren, all of a sudden, Coach Warren would get so mad. Frank Warren would run like two or three sprints. Like, you know, you do gasses, like there, across the field, there and back, there and back. Okay? And he would do a couple of those. And he's running with the DBs. He's hauling ass, smoking everybody. Then all of a sudden, he'd be shutting it down. Then after that, he's basically jogging with the big old lineman after that. And Morrow says, I know you faster than that. And Frank wouldn't say nothing. But Frank Warren, you know, the Dome Patrol gets a lot of success. I'm going to tell you individuals that who, and the Dome, Ricky Jackson, Pat Swilling. Now, the late Sam Mills and Von Johnson would tell you this. The guys who made it happen at the nose tackle, Jim Wilkes, San Diego State, and then Jumpy Gethers, Wichita State. Now, think about that. Look where they went to school. San Diego State, Wichita State, Frank Warren, Auburn Tigers. They made all the difference. And then Wayne Martin, Arkansas Razorback. You know, I think of all those guys doing the dirty work. You know what we don't have today? Nobody in the trenches for us does the dirty work. Cam Jordan would do the dirty work, but now he's too damn old. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Age, everybody gets old. Cam Jordan is now old. You know, Chase Young, I watch Chase Young. He did it every now and then. Too many damn times. He ain't getting paid the big bucks. You know why? He's not an every down player. He might be a flash in the pan, I got to look at his sack total because that's frustrating me. Okay, I'm looking at Chase Young today. You know how many tackles he had? Zero. Oof. He had one quarterback hurry, no sacks. And Chase Young wants to get paid? Man, they ain't paying you if you're not getting double-digit sacks. I mean, I look at us up front. We don't scare nobody. Now, offensive line, I think with McCoy, and I think we can be efficient at times. But our D-line, I'm telling you, they might want to beat me up. Our D-line is sorry. I'm telling you, they're sorry. And I'm challenging them right now.
Charlie and I have your back.
Okay, that's really going to help. now, Carl Grandison got rewarded. He's an overachiever from Wyoming. But who in the hell you think's making the Pro Bowl or even sniffing that in our D-line.
I hear you.
Ain't nobody. Now, you know who was outstanding today? And that kind of came out of nowhere. And he went to one of those directional schools, Nathan Shepard. That's the first time he's really produced this much. Boy, that one sack he had was outstanding. He had a quarterback hurry. He had a tackle for a loss. He ended up having one tackle. It just goes to show you they'll find you wherever you're at. Nathan Shepard. You know where he's from? Fort Hays State. What is that?
Right.
Like Cowboys and Indians? Fort Hays State? I mean, where is Fort Hays State? Is it Kansas? I'm trying to recall. You know, he's a Canadian. He's from Ontario, Canada. You know, we end up getting him from the Jets. But Fort Hays State, Colin Sanders. Colin Sanders will do an awesome job on the podcast, and he's great with the media and all that, but does he really dominate? I mean, does Colin Sanders, does he really dominate? I think he's an overachiever. He's from St. Louis. He went to Western Illinois, the Leathernecks. He's from a directional school. But what does Colin Sanders, let's see what he did today. I'm like, okay, he had one tackle. We don't have no difference makers. We don't have no big son of a guns like the Eagles. Now, they were drafted number one. You have to look at in the first round where they're at. I just know when we play the Eagles how disruptive they were up front. And right now, we just don't have that.
I'll give a shout out to Brian Brzee. He extended his 2024 sack total to 6.5 today. That's a career high for him. He's now tied with Leroy Glover and Nick Fairley for the sixth highest total in Saints history for defensive tackles in a single season.
Yes. Yeah, I think Cedric Ellis might have had six out of USC. Remember I told you?
Yeah, Ted L.
But you know what? Against you know what he needs to do? And he's to be truly a dominant player. I'm not saying you got to be Aaron Donald. You got to be play better against the run.
No doubt.
And you can't be getting knocked off the ball. You got to be more disruptive. Yeah, you could pass rush, but you want to be a one-trick pony? You want to just be able to, I can rush the passer and be disruptive. Now, there is a room for you there, but when you're number one draft pick, you want him to be an every-down player like Cam Jordan. You know, Cam Jordan from the get-go, what do you all do? First, second, third down. You know, he got better as a pass rusher compared to what he did at Cal as far as the sack total. But then you never run a Cam Jordan. You know, that's why Brian Brzee needs to be like, you know what? I can sack the quarterback and you can't run at me. And that's not the case right now with Brian Brzee.
We're here on the Ciroc Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're going to take a break, be back with more of your calls. So stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat? Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Black and gold falling 24-14. 21-14 to the L.A. Rams in the Caesars Superdome. Disappointing loss for the Black and Gold, who had 1-2 straight going into the matchup. Going to get back into our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and text line to hear from you, who dat. Your thoughts on the game to sound off with the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870. We got Rocco in the quarter right now. Rocco, what you got for us tonight?
All right, Bobby, a long time.
Hey, Rocco, where you been, man? I miss Rocco from the quarter. I'm glad,
Bob,
you called. You 81? Well, I'm glad you called.
Yeah, this man. I used to see Tony Angelo's.
Yep.
I used to see everywhere.
Yep. So what do you think? So, Rocco, you got a lot of wisdom. What do you think where the Saints are at right now?
Oh, Bobby, I might not look at it anymore. I mean, I quit going about 10 years ago. You get old, you know, I used to see your daddy at the LSU games.
But right.
I did feel, and I hate to jump on it, that this management we have could not find a catfish in cutoff. They're horrible. And Bobby, the athletes on another team are fast and strong enough.
Well, Rocco, you're kind of breaking up, but, you know.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that I just think we don't pick the right guys.
Oh, that's a great point. Right. That's a great point. Not saying you got to hit in the draft every year, but when was our last big draft? 2017? And I saw it was a couple of shows ago when I said, okay, who's our young, elite, or great players? I'm not talking about NFL or good players. Our center, Eric McCoy.
I say Eric McCoy for sure.
And then he's dealing with the groin. Now he's out. But okay, you might say, well, Bobby, what about Alvin Kamara? No, I'm saying young. I'm not saying old. I'm saying young. Okay, look at Taysom Hill. No, young. Okay, you look at, like, I'm not saying a young Cam Jordan. I'm not saying a young DeMario Davis. I'm not saying a young Honey Badger. No. Household names, they're all old. We're an old team. Who's young? And as really, I look at, okay, who's young on our team? What is the cutoff? I don't know. You say 26, maybe 27 or younger. Who truly wants your players and would start? I said this before, Eric McCoy, that maybe a team might like their center that they have, but then he would start off at guard. He'd be either the left guard, center, or the right guard on every NFL team. But other than that, like, okay, Bobby, you hating on Chris Olave. I ain't hating on Chris Olave. But you're going to tell me Chris Olave is the number one receiver? Now, I know he's dealing with concussions. He's too little. You got to be like Marcus Colston, Michael Thomas, old school Eric Martin. You got to be strong. You got to be big. I mean, not all. Look, Tyreek Hill, he's not big. Okay, is Chris Olave, will you consider whether Tyreek Hill's with the Chiefs or with the Dolphins? Could you put Chris Olave on Tyreek Hill's level? No. Speed comes into play. Now, Chris Olave can make every team, but not a number one receiver. You look at Rashid Shaheed. Could take the top off of defense where he's at. I still ain't damn forgive him the damn Falcons game when he feels the punt on the 4-yard line to get a touchdown. Now, he's explosive, but haven't we replaced that with Valdez-Scantling as far as the chunk plays.
Sure.
The bombs, right. The splash plays. Hell yeah, we
and
have.
And he's been consistent.
He ain't dropped nothing. He ain't.
That's and he scores every week.
That's why he's been. That's why he's been on four different teams is because he had the dropsies. Well, he hasn't had that in a Saints uniform. Now, when I look at Valdez-Scantling, you want to talk about a diamond in the rough and something that we've hit on. Do you know yards per catch leaders since 2018, since he came into the league, out of all the NFL receivers? 17.5, number one, Valdez-Scantling. George Pickens, he's kind of controversial. He was number two. Well, you know why Valdez-Scantling's been on so many teams? Bobby, how can he be yards per catch leaders and be on three or four different teams? Because when it hits your hands, you got to catch it. You know, you're going to tell me that the situation, now think about with Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes, and you can't stay with those teams, not because you can't run the routes, because he wasn't catching the ball. All I know, he's catching it with the damn Saints. Look at that touchdown he had now.
Got mojo going with Derek Carr for
Derek
sure.
Derek Carr dropped it right in the well, and he got it done. So, again, that's not an opinion. That's what he's actually done. So we kind of lucked out into that. So like Rocco was saying that, okay, you look at young studs.
How about a healthy Paulson Adebo? Would you have him in that mix?
I would have wanted to pay Paulson Adebo. It's a shame that he got hurt. That's right. A significant injury. He could come back from that. But he's too much. He panics too much at the end of the game.
Right.
Grabby. He's not as bad as Browner. Remember we had Browner from the Seahawks?
Brandon Browner, of course.
Then all of a sudden we're going to stop him. And they're calling the games a lot tighter because they want the offense to succeed.
Yeah.
So maybe back in the day when you started that being Browner, they're not going to call that a penalty. But now they call that a penalty. So that's why Paulson Adebo, I don't know. I'm interested to see. I'm kind of intrigued because you follow Saints players. When he does eventually play, I want to see because he was the greatest Saints cornerback in Saints history, Marshawn Lattimore. I'm still interested to see what he's going to do with the Washington Commanders.
Oh, he'll be back for the Saints game. You know that.
Wait, but I still say the Redskins. But you know what? I can tell you right now, he ain't going to be the greatest Washington defensive cornerback ever. You know who that is? The fastest NFL player, Darryl Green.
Right.
You heard of Darryl Green in Super Bowls? Now, so Lattimore might be the top dog with the Saints. Now, he's going to a team that has history as far as the cornerback position. So Lattimore still has a lot to prove to those Commander fans and those Washington fans. Now, I think he has that ability. I just don't view, I think Alante Taylor's solid. I think Alante Taylor's solid. But Alante Taylor ain't no, Marshawn Lattimore. And I'm telling you, I don't even know if he's a Paulson Adebo on the outside. Now, he could get better, and you know what I admire about Alante Taylor? That he does whatever the coaches ask him to do. Whether you're on the inside and guarding the slot or the outside, I think if you put him strictly on the outside, he will get better. You know who's the damn overachiever and getting it done? And he's a pro because he gets the most out of his body. He's not big. Is Ugo Amadi. At number zero, he led the damn team in tackles. He had 9 total tackles, 18 assisted. He's the only one who had a pass defended today. You know, he's the only one that knocked down a ball that Matthew Stafford thrown, that he threw today. Ugo Amadi's the only one. You look at Ugo Amadi, he'd be walking on the street. You wouldn't even think he's an NFL player. He ain't big, but he's tough. He's a pro. So Ugo Amadi, you know, we play in the Giants. He's fighting his behind off because I want to be a pro. I want to continue to last. You know, now, sometimes if a player is so gifted, then can you, I don't know, push the right buttons to get him motivated? Ugo Amadi, he's a guy that's motivated, and he'll do whatever the coaches ask, whether it's special teams or be a backup safety, or be the nickel, and I'm thrown in there. So I admire him from Oregon. I want to say he's from Nashville, Tennessee. He's from Tennessee. I don't know that name, image, and likeness. Then he went and played for the Oregon Ducks, and you just look where he's at today. So he's a pro. To me, he's a pro what he's done and his career so far.
We're here on the Ciroc Point After. Right now, we're going to pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. 21-14, Saints lose to the L.A. Rams. We're here on the Ciroc Point After. You can sound off 504-260-1870. Be back after these messages on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. Before we get back into our call line, Cajun Cannon, what is bugging Bobby about today's game? Brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. So, Cajun Cannon, at this 21-14 loss, what is bugging you the most?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up. I go either direction. You know, I could go this route, but I'm not. But I'm still going to mention it. We still can't stop the run. You can't be giving up, like, 5 yards a carry. Well, today we gave up 5.4, so 5.5. No, you don't think the Giants are going to try and run the ball and help out Drew Luck or DeVito, whoever's playing? I think it's going to be Drew Luck. And Drew Luck can run. Matthew Stafford wasn't going to run, but Drew Luck will run. You've seen it on Thanksgiving Day. You saw a couple of runs he had, a few runs against Dallas. So, but what's really bugging me, it's because this is whether you win or lose the game. What do you do in the red zone? And you got to get touchdowns. And again, there's not been Achilles heel for us. We've been outstanding in the red zone, offensive and defensively. I have to pull up my numbers and where we rank, but I know we're top 10. Offense and defense, we've been efficient. And how they judge that, the NFL, how we look at it, okay, are you scoring touchdowns or are you not scoring touchdowns? Not points. Not field goals, and we are amongst the best out of the 32 teams, offense and defense. Well, that was not the case today. We were terrible. I don't know, when they 3-for-3, you give up, then the Rams 100%. We were terrible red zone defense and terrible red zone offense because we were 0-for-2 in red zone offense, and we gave up 3-for-3, 100%, red zone defense. So that's what's bugging me. So it's amazing even the score was this close. 21-14. Because if you just showed me that, I'd go, we probably lost by double digits. I'm not saying you get, like, blown out, but you probably would lose by double digits if you told me that. So that's really what's bugging me. And now, you know what you need to do? You need to score in the red zone and then also do the type plays that we did. That has to continue against the Giants going forward. When Derek Carr dropped that dime to Valdez-Scantling on that 28-yard touchdown.
You mentioned that pregame. Man, he throws a pretty deep ball.
Yeah, okay. Now, the 28-yard touchdown, that's outside the red zone. So all the Houdat Nation members, the red zone traditionally is always the 20-yard line on in. Now, Sean Payton, I don't know if he called it the go zone or changed it, and he kind of stretched it to the 25-yard line.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, going in. But really, if you be a traditionalist, and I am a traditionalist, I would say the red zone is 20-yard line on in. If you get inside the 20-yard line, you can't kick a damn field goal. You got to be able to get a touchdown. I don't care if it's a pass or run, but you know what the Rams were able to do when they even had goal to goal in that was situation? They end up being 3-for-3 is that, you know what? I think the Saints might have known that they even might try and run against us, and then it's like a wave. Yeah, you watch games, and all of a sudden, we're getting gashed. And then all of a sudden, it's a run play, and who's blocking who, and then they all end up in the end zone. It could be a 4 or 5 yard game, whatever. It just seems like if we would have tried to do that, we would have got stuff. And Aaron Donald ain't playing no more for the Rams. And then the Rams get gashed it's Saquon Barkley. You look at it, so it's not like, what do you expect, Bobby? The Rams have an unbelievable run defense. How can you expect us to be able to have success running the ball against them? Now, the one thing that did occur is, what was his name? He got the guy from Old Dominion, our guard, Charlie.
Nick Saldivari.
Okay, Nick Saldivari is hurt. And then who else got hurt? I think
Taysom, Tyron.
No, we had two offensive linemen, I think, got hurt. We just had one. We had Saldivari, and I want to say that McCoy wasn't playing.
Right.
And then we're going. But can we play maybe two games in a row where nobody gets hurt on the offensive line? It seems like every damn game we're playing, we have no continuity on the offensive line so they could play together in jail. We all getting hurt. I mean, doesn't it seem like that? And I didn't mention this early, and I think he's outstanding. he's going to be an outstanding young guy, is Fuaga. That's when all of a sudden Kamara, I think we're going to have a 12-yard touchdown. Derek Carr did an outstanding job with his eyes. He's looking outside. He throws it to Alvin Kamara. Then we got a touchdown. Doesn't count. Fuaga's downfield. Now I'm thinking, okay, maybe Derek Carr held the ball too long, but he's not really going to take off and run. We're not running a screenplay because you can have the timing's off and you get offensive linemen downfield. We weren't running no damn screen. It was a drop back pass. Why in the hell Fuaga's downfield? You know, that's why I'd like to be a fly on the wall watching the film there. And on, you know, the O-line meeting or the offensive meeting, okay, well, what are you doing? Because all of a sudden the game could be 10-0. Think about that. 10-0 instead of groupie, 36-yard field goal, no good. What? No good. We can't afford to have that.
Yeah.
Come on, groupie. And groupie's been, I got to look at this. Groupie's been outstanding.
He's been more money from longer distance.
Groupie has been 5-for-5, 50-plus yard field goals. 5-for-5. And now, this is an oxymoron. This is what's crazy. He's 5-for-5, 50-plus yard field goals. Now, in the previous games, he's 5-for-6 from the 40 to the 49-yard line. And now, since he missed that 36-yarder,
right,
he's 6-for-7 from 30 to 39. But you know what's magnified with that? Remember early in the season, he missed 2 extra points. But you know how we lucked out? When you think about our 2 previous wins, coup and all that, then the kickers for the opposing team choke. Well, damn, then Groupie didn't step up. Now, he kind of balanced it out, but we need all the points we could get. But again, here's Groupie. He can kick the damn long ones. You know, 55, 50-plus, Groupie makes them. But, we got the right kicker, but I don't know. That was frustrating where all of a sudden we're winning 3-0. It should have been the 10-0, but it's not even 6-0 because he missed it. And then all of a sudden, that's why at halftime I was trying to be optimistic. We're only winning 6-0, but once Carr said, up.
Right, you knew it should have been more, obviously.
No, because the Rams, they're going to start clicking.
They don't have an inept offense.
No, exactly. I'm looking. It's not like we're playing the Giants. If we were up with the Giants next week, 6-0, oh, no, we have a great chance.
Or even the Browns offense.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like we're up 6-0 against the Rams. That's not so good. We should be, I'd be a lot more confident we were winning by way more.
We're here on the Ciroc Point After. Want to hear from you, 504-260-187. Taking a break. We'll get right back to it right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point After, seen on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, someone asking, what happened to Sunday Night Football? Well, the Saints' 3 o'clock kickoff. Sunday Night Football got moved to the bet. 1350 AM and 92.9 FM. I'll get it straightened out. But yeah, that's where you can find the game. Unfortunately, it's not on here because we have this Ciroc Point After going on because of a 3 o'clock Saints kickoff for anybody looking for Sunday Night Football. Whereas we've got the Buffalo Bills up on the 49ers. What is it? 7-3? 14-3, sorry. And unfortunately for the Niners, Christian McCaffrey went down with a knee issue, non-contact deal. So that's not very good sign for him.
Oh, the 49ers are about underachieving now. They've had injuries that are affecting where they're at in the NFC West. Look how wide open the NFC West is.
But you mentioned that during the break, this has plagued them since training camp. That's why they canceled joint practices with the Saints.
Yeah, in early August. Remember, we were supposed to practice. And, Steve, that's one reason why I'm going to camp. I'm all excited to watch the Saints versus the 49ers. And then all of a sudden, Shanahan says, oh, we can't even practice against the Saints.
Bobby, you're not going to California now.
No, they had 20-something injuries. And Christian McCaffrey, and I even went to Germany and all, and dealing with injuries. No, so they've been snake bit. And they have a Trent Williams, their all-world tackle. And he's like, he's injured, he's not playing. So the 49ers have checked out. So that'll be interesting. That's why the Rams at 6-6, they go, no, we got a fighting chance. You look at the Cardinals, the Seahawks. That'll be interesting who comes out of the NFC West when all said and done. Because the elite in the NFC It's not even close.
No, because right now
you've got the NFC North.
For sure. Seattle Seahawks are 7-5, and then you have Arizona and the LA Rams now 6-6,
yep.
And San Fran trailing right now. If they could win tonight, they'd be 6-6 as well.
But
they're currently 5-6,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think they'll end up being 5-7, but except for the bad news Bears, you look at the Lions, look at the Vikings, look at the Packers. And no, that's the elite of the NFC. And then, you know, I think it's amongst them. Is that they're hot right now, the Eagles, where the Eagles are at. You know who's been – what did Washington do today? Did they finally turn the corner?
Yeah, Commanders won big today. Let me see the final score.
Did they beat the Titans?
You.
Who did they play?
Yeah, they played the Titans and put a whooping on them. It was not close at all.
Because they had lost three games in a row, I want to say. They had lost three games in a row. The Cowgirls, their fans, they're delusional.
42-19 in Washington the game was.
Yeah, yeah. So Saints still got to play them. But the Cowgirls are delusional. All of a sudden, you have to look who they beat. Oh, we turned the corner. You ain't turned nothing. Come on. So what? You better than the Giants? What does that say? No, I hope the Eagles crush Dallas.
Checking in on our Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line now, Cajun Cannon. We got Steve and Marrero wanting to sound off here on the Ciroc Point After. What you got tonight, Steve?
Hey, listen, Rocco last hour probably stole a little bit of my thunder, but he actually set it up for me. I know we're talking about tonight's game or this afternoon's game, but something's rotten at the head of the Saints and the Pelicans organization. And I'm just wondering if Gail Benson has what it takes to get rid of Mickey Loomis and David Griffin. I mean, Mickey Loomis came in as a money guy, and money is all jacked up right now. And on top of that, I don't know who's picking players, but Rocco and Buddy were just talking. Buddy, I'm sorry, Bobby. Bobby, you got me thinking about Buddy.
Yeah.
Bobby and Rocco were just talking about, we don't have any young players. We don't have a stockpile of draft picks. We don't have any young talent. We don't have a coach. I mean, fire players.
Steve, hold your point.
The leadership when they don't perform.
Okay, Steve, hold your point. We have young players who are good. Do we have elite, great players? So look at how many other teams don't want your players. And then, you know, we got a few texts like, oh, well, isn't Chris Olave, look how we, well, it doesn't matter where you drafted him. Or that doesn't make.
I didn't talk about where they were drafted.
They're
not on the team.
Yeah.
They ain't on the team.
But I look at like Chris Olave. Chris Olave is an NFL player. He's good. But you consider Chris Olave great? No. I don't care where we drafted him. No, he's very good. He could be a number two for a number of teams.
Sammy Knight wasn't drafted, but he was great.
Right. Oh, that's a great point, Steve. So we look at that. But the only thing now with the Pelicans, I think Mr. Griffin might be gone. But Mickey Loomis
he's
ain't
already
going.
Gone, if you ask me. He's checked out.
But Mickey Loomis ain't going nowhere. Okay, Mickey
because
Loomis.
He's Saints royalty. But what I'm saying is we fire players because they don't perform. This dude hadn't performed. We won a Super Bowl 75,000 years ago.
I can tell you, Steve, what's going to come about.
Would it fly in New York?
No. But we're not New York City. Come on. But we're a small market. Memphis and all that.
No.
We ain't got to be no second class fans. You got to hold the feet to the fire, but you have to be realistic where we're at. And I look at where Mickey Loomis and the Saints organization and where we're at right now. Okay? So you have to look at Mr. Benson. And Ms. Gail Benson, we are the Gulf Coast, the Gulf South Saints, okay? Now, I can tell you Mickey Loomis and the trust, because it's all about trust a lot of times when you're dealing with owners. And Gail Benson has the trust of Mickey Loomis and Dennis Lauscher, Greg Bensel. It's all like the family. It's not the mafia, but it's a family. And they all got that trust factor going back to Mr. Tom Benson. And that's a good thing because you want loyalty. You don't want somebody that's going to stab you in the back and all that, but you still got to produce. And I'm telling you, Steve, what Mickey wants to do is Mickey all of a sudden's in charge. And he wants to win without Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Because, you know, he hired Jim Haslett. Okay, that didn't necessarily work out. So you got rid of Jim Haslett. Now you got to give Mickey a lot of credit. He brought Sean Payton on board, and then therefore Drew Brees. But all of a sudden, what do you think, Mickey? Everybody got an ego. And then you talk amongst the friends and the public. And then all of a sudden, you know, people could be telling, like, rubbing Mickey, yeah, you won because you had Sean Payton and Drew Brees. What have you done without them?
Without him, right.
Yes. Now, he brought Sean Payton on board. So I think Mickey wants to win or prove that he can win, and he's in charge without Sean Payton or Drew Brees. And then they all buddy-buddies. But, you know, just like a brother to brother, whatever, like Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, whatever.
Sibling rivalry.
Yeah, whatever. So the relationship. So, Steve, the point being, Mickey Loomis ain't going nowhere. Now, he might have a different role on the team. You might have to have an outside influence at general manager. Look, Mickey Loomis looks at under him. Who's under his tree? Look at Fontenot. All of a sudden, he's here. He goes to Atlanta. Arthur Blank trusts him. And then all of a sudden, he's running the Falcons. Now, I don't know what they're going to do, but that's coming from the Saints. Look at the Detroit Lions. Isn't that, you know, the Saints organization? Isn't that like the Saints North? Come on, look at Aaron Glenn, Dan Campbell. So when you do things right, they
Mark
will.
Mark Grinnell's over there, too.
They will steal or take people that may be part of your organization to help their organization be better because you had stability there. But the bottom line is you have to win. And where Mickey's at right now, I've said this before. I'm going to say this probably just like the third or fourth time I've actually said this on the radio. That I think where Mickey's at right now is very similar to Rich McKay. Rich McKay, remember his dad went from USC, was the head coach at Tampa Bay. And then they asked him a question. It's like, what do you think about the offense? Or something like, I'm all for it, you know, whatever. So with his son, Rich McKay, was running the Falcons. It didn't work out. But Arthur Blank trusted him. And now he's kind of a figurehead, goes to the league meetings and all that. So I think what Mickey Loomis could do, still be part of the Saints organization. You don't have to leave town. And you go represent, Ms. Gale don't have to go. You go represent the Saints at the league meetings and all that. That's still a lot of power, a lot of prestige. But you're not necessarily running the team. So you might have to have a spark or an outside influence about not hiring from within, but you go outside the box and maybe bring somebody on board. But Steve, Mickey might still be a part of who they're bringing in, but not necessarily being able to control them, if that makes sense. Now, that'd be interesting to see the relationship between McKay and Fontenot. I don't think McKay tells Fontenot what to do. And if he had a new general manager come to the Saints, I don't think Mickey could tell that new general manager what to do. Now, Dennis Schlosser, that's the money guy. That's the one Mr. Benson trusts, Ms. Gale trusts. And you know what? You got to win. You got to win. We love football. I think we like basketball. If the Pelicans don't win, man, are they going to be the damn Seattle Pelicans? I think Ms. Gale don't want that. They ain't going nowhere. But are we going to be this year's version of the Detroit Pistons last year? The Pelicans are sorry right now. I don't care if you hurt or not hurt.
We kind of joke about the G League Pels right now with all the injuries.
Is Coach Willie Green going to be the scapegoat? Okay, get rid of the damn coach and all. Yeah, you look, okay, who's in charge of all this and all? All I know is, well, the team better turn around and win because football will be over. Who's going to the damn games at the Smoothie King Center? Come late February, March, April, whatever. The team are like the Pistons. Man, ain't nobody. We don't love basketball that much. Come on, you got to win. We like a winner. Who doesn't like a winner? You want to support a winner.
Winning's fun.
Football, and we give a little leeway. Now, you ultimately got to win. But right now, no, that's interesting. The sky is falling, Steve says, on Gale Benson, the Saints, and the Pels is kind of, definitely a disaster early in the season with the Pels. And then you look even where the Saints are at because there's going to be a coaching change. It's Coach Risley, maybe. I think he's still in the mix for the future. But right now, no, the natives are restless.
For sure.
I don't even know. Is it called the Pelican Nation? I don't know. I know the Houdat Nation. You know what I know about the Houdat Nation? All I know is the Houdat Nation turns 18 next Tuesday after the Giants game, December the 10th. 18 years. Well, I remember post-Katrina, and fans are dispersed. And all of a sudden, they're all so optimistic about the team, and they're calling. We did a damn post-game show, and we were there until 3 in the morning. I think I worked for 2 extra hours for free. I was so excited. I go, there's a damn Who Dat Nation out there. Well, right now, the Who Dat Nation is disgruntled, and where we're at, because there's high expectations. Give us something to cheer for. We'll have the fan base. The fan base is there. And at the end of the game, if the game's out of hand, and or you have to know when to do the wave. Charlie was telling me, are fans educated enough to know when to do the wave?
They're down 7 trying to do the wave, right?
I don't know. They just there for the experience. That's good. You need fans like that. I'm just going for the atmosphere and all that. But it's like when a few games ago when we were getting waxed by Tampa
Stand
Bay.
Up and get
and we getting crushed by Tampa Bay, and we finally scored the end, which is meaningless, and they're playing Stand Up and Get Crunk. Who in the hell's in charge of the music doing that crap? No, you play Stand Up and Get Crunk when the game's on the line to get the fans excited. I know I was going off on a bunch of different topics. But
that's all right, Steve and Marrero, great phone call. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for that. We're going to go from Steve to Scott now in Mid-City. What you got for us tonight, Scott?
Hey, guys. First-time caller.
Appreciate you.
Hey, I wanted to know, when Taysom got hurt, Kamara and Derek Carr were on the sidelines, on the opposite sidelines, talking to somebody. What was going on with that? I mean, why are they hanging out on the Rams sidelines?
Well, I don't know. Who were they talking to? A coach? A player? I don't know.
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
I didn't see it,
so I
can't.
We're down by 7 points, and they shouldn't be doing that whole thing.
Well, the thing is, you might hate the opposing team, but I'm thinking this modern-day player, and even back in the day, that you competing out there, it might be like Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh.
You still have a mutual respect for guys.
Yeah.
Kind of shoot the, you know what, with
shoot
them.
The breeze.
Right, there you go.
Hey, I remember talking crap to Buddy Ryan. And I remember, now this is when he was with the Eagles, went to the Cardinals. I remember getting the crap knocked out of me on the sideline. And he's like Iran, and then I get knocked down, and he's like saying, damn it, don't let Aver get out the pocket and, you know, knock the crap out of him. And I went up to Buddy Ryan, Buddy Ryan. I said, and I'm telling you, I was hurting. I wouldn't let him know I was hurting. I say, man, Buddy, that's all you got? Come on, man, that ain't nothing. And I'm telling you, I was hurting. My eyes were crossed. And I was like, whoa. So, I mean, when you think, like, when they're communicating, it's all gamesmanship. You know, whether it's Sean McVay, whoever it might be, Kamara, Derek Carr. No, you're still competing at a high level. And so it's not like the camaraderie. So a lot of times it's hard, Scott, is this Scott, I think?
Yeah, Scott Mid-City.
Yeah. That it's not as bad as you think. They're still trying to, it'd be like you in the backyard going against your brother and you're trying to win whatever, and the competition is still there. So it's not like you wanted to nail them to the stake, so to speak, you know, put them on a pike. So that's why don't take that out of hand, that you're still competing at a high level, that it's not like a kumbaya, that we're all going to get paid no matter what the outcome. No, you could turn it on and off like that, even though you're communicating with your opponent. I remember I loved it, and I'd be laughing and playing, and, you know, like you might be playing. I told you this story about Reggie White. I mean, all of a sudden, now the thing about this, Scott, here we playing the Eagles one time. I mean, Reggie White knocked the crap out of me, and I'm on the ground, and my eyes, I'm like, I'm crossed. I'm like, I'm dazed and confused. I sound like the damn Led Zeppelin song. I'm dazed and confused, and I know got my bell rung. And then usually defensive linemen don't pick you up. You know, they want to walk over you, but he reaches out his hand and to pick me up, and he tells me, Jesus loves you. And I'm like saying, whoa, I'm all freaked out. He goes, yeah. And then he picks
minister
me up.
Minister of Defense.
Yeah, Minister of Defense. He's an ordained Baptist minister. He goes, Jesus loves you. And I started thinking, I'm going back to the huddle. I don't know why this is in my mind. I'm thinking, damn, if Reggie White was really ticked off, or really pissed off, whatever, I said, I think he could kill me. I mean, he just knocked the crap out of me, and he's witnessing to me. He goes, man, Jesus loves you. And I'm like, so Scott, all those kind of things go on during a game that you can't take that out of context. You're still competing at a high level, so don't think like, oh, I don't want to beat the opponent, because you might see they're way too cordial for them actually to be competing against one another.
Well, Cajun Cannon, a little score update. It is now 21-3 Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen has now thrown the most touchdown passes in Buffalo Bills history.
I think Josh Allen, you want to talk about Wyoming Cowboy, Laramie, Wyoming. Talk about a big son of a gun. He couldn't beat a better place. Whoever decided to draft him there.
Kudos, right.
You know what was outstanding? Now, he played at the U in Miami, Jim Kelly. From Pennsylvania, then he goes to the U, but goes to the Bills. Josh Allen is a way better version, even though Jim Kelly was unbelievable. He took the Bills to four straight Super Bowls.
Unreal.
But as far as playing in those conditions, they could not have a better quarterback than Josh Allen. Now, I think Josh Allen has underachieved. And you think about, okay, did the Bengals win today?
No.
What? Okay, think about it. Everybody wants a quarterback and an unbelievable receiver. Joe Burrow might be the greatest quarterback to have 40-plus touchdowns and not go to the damn playoffs.
And they lost 44-38 Cajun Cannon.
Who's playing defense
yeah.
for the Bengals? And what did Joe Burrow do today? Was he pretty outstanding? Because I know he's been awesome, but they don't win.
Burrow finished with the QB rating of 112. He passed for 309 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, completed 28 of 38 passes.
Oh, and not good enough. It's been like that every week, and the Bengals continue to lose. He'll have 40-plus touchdowns, and they don't make the playoffs. That goes to show you it's still a team game.
Yeah, you mentioned defense. Danger Russell Wilson, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, 414 yards passing.
The only one who's getting after the quarterback, and he was on the Saints. Again, another Saints.
Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, Trey Hendrickson. Now, I think he has double-digit sacks already on the season. Steve, look how many sacks he has. I mean, I don't know what he did today, but it seems like other than him, the Bengals defense, boy, they're always in a shootout.
Well, it looks like, oh, no, there he is. Hendrickson just had a tackle for today, so it was an off day for him.
So he didn't show up.
Right. On the season, though, what was that? 11.5 sacks, Charlie's telling me he has on the season. Not too shabby.
I wish we had somebody on the Saints with 11.5 sacks, right?
Exactly.
11.5. No, it hadn't been. I mean, who are you going to pay? No, because
that's number one in the NFL.
Yeah, because you look at, Davenport. He was drafted higher than Henderson, so we got to keep him instead of Henderson. Doesn't matter where you drafted. Pay the player that produces. Come on.
Taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. When we get back, hear from quarterback Derek Carr right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point After, the Saints go down 21-14 to the L.A. Rams. We heard from quarterback Derek Carr after the game, and here's what he said.
Coach really mentioned that he came off the field at the end of the game there after the final offensive play. And he mentioned that there was an open receiver in the end zone. What did you see in that?
Yeah, they took away the first two reads just with the coverage they played, and so I was stepping up and just going to give Juwan a big body ball up top, and I thought he won just from my point of view until we get the clicker and pause it. I don't know, but at least we would have had a chance, and so it's tough to be that close, to have a chance, and I was begging, right. Before that drive, I was like, I went to Riz. I was like, let's go for two, because there was no doubt in our mind. We're going to score, We're going to score. Let's go for the win. And we didn't get that opportunity to see if we were going to do it. But it's hard to lose a game that way. I just wish I just could have done more for my teammates. I always feel that way after a loss. And this one hurts, especially when you're that close.
Was that pressure just like in a blind spot? Is there anything I could have done? Did you evaluate anything?
My read was completely front side. I mean, I will evaluate it. I was just like, what could I do better? What could I have done? But I'm not looking, that side on that play that with the kill we made, the check, I should say, that we made. And my eyes are front side, going through my read, trying to find the coverage and find the open guy. And so I had no idea, but I got to figure out a way to help my teammates.
How tough was it to lose Taysom with the Blizz early on that drive?
That's the worst. I don't know anything. Y'all probably know more than me. But just as a brother, as a friend, because it's bigger than football at that moment. His family, his kids, his wife, everybody, and. know, that your heart just breaks. You know, you got guys, Coach McVay, you know, heartbroken for him. You know, Stafford, you know, walks up talking to me, heartbroken for him. You know, in that moment, just it kind of pauses the game part of it and the competitiveness, and you feel for someone especially like that. But I love how our fans treated him. And I would expect nothing less from our fans. You know, when one of our guys goes down, they've been great. You know, to support our guys, whether it's going great or not. You know, the way they treat him, that made me happy for him to have that moment, because it's not a good moment to be in, but that was really cool.
Given his importance to the offense and maybe potential carry to injury, do you feel like that maybe rattled the team at all, or were y'all able to compartmentalize that in the last few plays of the game?
I feel like we were able to compartmentalize it, honestly. You know, it's such a violent sport, you know, like your mind can't be anywhere else but on your assignment, you know, man. So I thought our focus, I thought our focus was fine and was good. Just looking at the guys on the huddle and the mindset of still just trying to win that. And really, you know, we threw the touchdown to MVS, and, you know, Nick gets hurt, you know, and then Taysom gets hurt. And, like, the rallying cry is like, man, let's do it for them, you know. Let's get this win for them. And so I thought our guys were really focused. I didn't think it altered anybody's thoughts or anything.
How would you describe the mood in the locker room right now? Just the general vibe right now?
I can't say the word I want to say because my mom always gets mad when I say it. So, and she texts me every time. But I would say angry, upset. Because we just expect so much of us as a team, and we knew that was a good football team. You know, we knew they were a really good football team, but we believe we're a really good football team, and so it hurts. But I would say angry, upset, mad at the loss, but still hungry. Like I've been in locker rooms that feel deflated, and that didn't feel like that. You know, we still believe in what we can do, and it's not pretty. It's not been easy. But everything we want, we can still do. You know, it's not impossible. And so, for us, I felt just as the leaders, as we were talking just now, like I just felt like it was positive, as it could be, like after a loss.
You don't worry that maybe you've lost the momentum that you had built in the last couple of years?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, as you go through practice and you feel the practice week and all those kind of things, I really just believe we have the kind of people that won't let it happen. You know, I really believe that. I think Mickey has done an outstanding job of bringing, you know, the right people, you know, the leaders, DeMario, AK, you know, Eric, you know, Tyron, you know, Cam, myself. You know, I just feel like we just, the whole locker room, we all just care too much, you know, to just let it go. And so, especially when you're still playing for something, you know, that it's not easy in this league, but when you're still playing for something, you got to keep going.
Derek, realistically, like, when your read is over here and the pressure's over here, like, what can a quarterback do besides, like, have that internal clock, you know? Like, what, is there anything that can be done there at that moment?
I don't know. I just always, you know, want to put it on myself, you know. Yeah, that's a tough one, you know, because, it's at the end of a game, the down and distance, you know, you're trying to take every last second. It's not like some of the plays early in the game where someone lost or something like that, and I just get out of there, I throw it away to save a negative play. You know, it's can't do that. I mean, you have to try. And so, I'll go study it and talk to my coaches, and whatever they say, we'll work it. I'll try and be better, and it'll be in my brain for sure, but I don't know. I don't want to say there's nothing I could ever do, because I always want to think that there's something I could have done better. But I was just going through my read, and, you know, at the end, saw him and was about to throw it, and then he hit me.
Were you expecting to see Mann on that play?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, just because of the situation. Normally, you get that. But also with all the different motions and things we've done and beat versus man down in the low red zone and things like that, that's a tough call too on a defense too. So, I mean, I knew what the coverage was as soon as, you know, I saw them line up and start communicating. But for me, usually in that situation, especially game on the line, you expect man, you know, players on players and a blitz, maybe an all out blitz or something like that. But, yeah.
At what point do you maybe decide, like, I'm going to flee the pocket next time? It's like, I know that one was kind of quick, but, like, is there like, a trigger that goes off in your head, like, on a play where you're like, all right, it's been, like, 4 seconds, I need to get out of here or something like that?
Yeah, it's not really counting. It's once you get through the read, you know. I got through one and two pretty quick, and then I'm waiting on number three, you know. The way they passed it off, I'm going to talk about, you know, our whole read, you know. But I went through one and two quick just because of how they played it. We knew that those plays were dead. And so then you step up, you know, looking for three. Right when my eyes went there, I waited till he was about to win and then went to throw it. So, I don't know. It's my fault, man. I just wish I could have got the ball off.
Is there can you touch on some of the just missed opportunities in the first half? Chances
yeah.
to kind of, like, maybe get up and fill the lead and get the end you guys want?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the ones I can remember, you know, the penalties. We had a few back us up. You know, we thought we had a touchdown. Whether they're penalties or whether they're not, it doesn't matter. They called them, you know. And so, you know, for us, you know, being able to eliminate penalties, you can't have negative plays, especially when you get in the fringe. It's just hard. The coverage is people can play and where they can stand and take certain things away. It's hard to, you know, there's not a lot of depth, you know, to work with. You know, can't throw it over their head and stuff like that too. And so I thought AK had a great effort getting in the end zone. You know, that would have been a huge play for us, obviously, in this game. But yeah, I mean, anytime you have negative plays, you know, that was a big emphasis for us this week, just positive plays on first and second down. And obviously we didn't have enough of those because they got a good third and medium and long team, you know, with rushing the passer and, you know, making you throw it short, you know, trying to take things away that you know, trying to take certain shots away, you know, as best they could. You know, we did hit the one to MVS, but they do a good job on third down in those longer areas of really just trying to force the ball short and make a tackle at the sticks, you know. And some games are like that. And sometimes it's frustrating a quarterback, but you have to stay true to your progression, the coverage, and getting the ball to the right guy, you know, to give him a chance to get the first down. So I just thought, you know, it's always on us as players that try and figure out how to be better there early downs.
Derek, can you talk about that 2-point play?
Yeah, you're saying if we would have scored?
No,
the other one, the to Pettis, got it. I'm sorry. The one to Pettis, yeah. So we had a progression on the front. And I saw him grab Foster. And Foster ended up winning, actually. Late. I wasn't ready for that, but they grabbed him. I popped back because I knew just how they played their coverage. I'd have a one-on-one backside, and Pettis won, and I just tried to throw it high, you know, just so the corner couldn't undercut and get his hands on it, and he went up and made the play. And so really proud of him for making that play. He stepped up for us for sure.
That was Saints quarterback after the Saints lost 21-14 to the LA Rams. Also want to give everyone an update. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network is reporting Saints do it all. Tight end Taysom Hill was carted off today, is feared to have suffered a season-ending knee injury. Sources say no final diagnosis yet. He'll have an MRI to determine the severity of the injury, but it's feared to be significant, a tough blow indeed for the black and gold. We're going to take a break and be back more as we close out the Ciroc Point after right after this, so stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Winding things down here on the Ciroc Point after. First, let's pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, time for our Ciroc toast to the Saints player of the game. Pour yourself a glass of Ciroc Premium Vodka, and let's toast to Alvin Kamara, Cajun Cannon. I think he's deserving of that honor of player of the game today.
Well, he's on pace to have 1,900 yards, total scrimmage yards. He had 112 yards rushing, right at a 5-point average. He had total yards 119. Always say he needs to be about 125, 130. Now, if he has a more explosive game than that, I think that's a little lanyard. But you know what's a bunch of BS? And I don't know who this cat is who takes this is from 2142. Can we now move on from check down car? You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Do you know completions over the past decade of 25 plus yards or more, or 40 plus yards or more? You know, Derek Carr throws as pretty a long ball as anybody in the NFL. Okay, people a lot of times don't want to recognize Russell Wilson. But you know, Derek Carr, 25 plus yard completions, he's number 3 in the whole NFL, ahead of, you know, Aaron Rodgers is still playing ahead of Matthew Stafford. He has like 20 more of those type throws. Don't you respect Matthew Stafford? Now look at 40-plus yard completions the last decade. Russell Wilson, number one. Matthew Stafford is number two. Derek Carr is number three ahead of Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins. So Matthew Stafford had 103, Derek Carr had 98 coming to this. So when you say check down Carr, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Derek Carr throws the deep ball, so you're wrong. I don't know how you learn football or how you watch football. That is not the case. But now you want him to win more games, but Derek Carr is not check down Carr. That's a bunch of BS. You don't know what you're talking about.
Cajun Ken, you'll have more time to sound off tomorrow on Second Guess and the Coaches Show. Thanks for everyone for tuning in. Unfortunately, Saints lose 21-14. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to the Houdat Nation.
All right, bon nuit les gens. Good night, people. Houdat, go Saints.